We need the word. Because I want to assure you right now, when you leave today, the emotions sometimes will not go with you, the good emotions. Because you know, when you're in here, it's easy to be fired up, isn't it? Yeah. Is it not? But sometimes when we go home, it's, you need the word. You need the word to sustain you. We talked a little bit last week. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 again. People say, I've heard that before. We've heard this before. Well, I've drove a car before too, but I like to drive one every day. Don't you? And when we read Mark chapter 11, a lot of times I have to try to remember to inform people that Jesus said this for Brother Hagin did. But it's true. But let me find this real quick. I'm not trying to re-preach Pastor Susan's last week, and that's not the goal. But it would be all right if we did, wouldn't it? Because we were talking about patience last week, and I know that that's one that nobody really wants to talk about much, because you have to let patience have its perfect work. That's what the book of James said. But whenever, y'all remember the story in Joseph when he was in prison and he had the cupbearer and the baker, and they were both troubled with their dreams. Joseph interpreted, and you know, one of them was good, one of them not so good. But he told the cupbearer, he said, "Hey, remember me. when you get out of here, remember me." Well, let's look in chapter 41 here. I'm just kind of preaching from my heart this morning, if that's all right with y'all. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to title this today, Where is the Heart? Where is the heart? So, Debbie, when you ask me tomorrow, where is the heart, okay? But in chapter 41, let's go back to 23 in verse 40. It says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Genesis. Well, Sorry, Genesis. Well, I figured Joseph, y'all know Genesis. Oh, y'all's in Mark. Well, I told you I was going for my heart today, and sometimes there's scrambled eggs up in there. Y'all may not know what I mean, but I know what I mean. Genesis 41. Do y'all even know what we're talking about? We're talking about patience. Oh, man, this will turn into a comedy routine if we ain't careful. But you know what? We might as well have fun. I'd rather laugh as cry, wouldn't you? I'd rather smile as frown. But in chapter 41 of Genesis, in the King James Version, page 31, it said, "It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 years. Did I say 40? Wow, wait. Verse 1. We're going to get to where I'm going here in a second, I promise you. But when we were talking about patience, seriously, when we're talking about patience, sometimes it doesn't happen near as quickly as we would like for it to. But as I was been telling, I've had several different chances this week to minister to people. And you don't want to pick the fruit off the vine before it's ready. You want to let it have its perfect work. You want to let it finish growing. You want to let it get ripe before you pick that off, because you want it to taste right. You know, when you... I remember seeing Jesse Duplantis gave a visual of that, and he cut an apple in half, and he dug the seeds out, and he had a man eat the apple, and he had another man to eat the seed. The seed didn't taste good. You want to know why? It wasn't made for consumption. It's made for planting. And so we eat the fruit, not the seed. And so we got to remember that sometimes our life is that seed when we have to die out to some old thinking, some old ways, and sometimes that means I'm going to plant what I thought I should be in the ground so that I can become exactly what it is that God wants me to be, and let it finish its work. Let Him finish His work in me. And that's going to take time. And I told somebody the other day, and I don't know if it's really what they wanted to hear, but it seems like when God begins to do things in my life, a lot of times it's in these 10 and 15 year transitions. And a lot of people are not prepared for that. To try, and I'm not going to tell you that practice in patience is fun. It is not fun. You want it to happen the next day. But God's still dealing with other people, not just you. We may be ready, but God's dealing with other people in other situations. So, number one, this is not the only life. Did you know that? This is not the only life. And when we leave here, this life and this body falls off, it's going to be like a hand coming out of a glove. It's going to be like your foot coming out of your sock. Trim nails and no fungus and all that. We're not going to just float on clouds and play the harp. We're going to go on living. In Revelation, John said he saw a new heavens and a new earth. This is just the beginning of your life. You say, John, I'm 90 years old. Just the beginning. I'm 100, just the beginning. So I want to assure you today, let patience have its work. Let God finish what He is doing in your life. You are not running out of time. You are not running out of time. Anyways, where is the heart? And I'm not talking about just the way your perception. I'm talking about the heart that God gave you. The heart that He gave us to believe with. And like I said, I know we want it fast. We want it quick. I'm not saying God can't do it that way. I'm not saying that God cannot do it that way at all. But I have found in my life that there's just been a lot of time. Well, here's the thing. If the Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, what is one day to God? Seconds, maybe even that. Anyways, let God develop in you. Let God develop in you His heart to receive His things, His stuff, His ways, His mind, His thinking, His desire for you, what His truths are, not what your own is, not what somebody's telling you, what His truth is. And let that develop on the inside of you. But I want to talk about where is your heart. And then we're going to kind of transition over to this title here, Believing God for Anything. This is not just faith talk. This is Bible talk. This is Bible talk. This is Jesus talk. This is God talk. This is His ways. Did anybody else, and I forgot who even shared this, about Annette Capps was teaching about ministering from the heart. I'm trying to remember where I saw that yesterday. I posted on Timothy Project, okay. And I'm all for line upon line, precept upon precept. I am absolutely all for that. But she said, but where is the heart? Where are these things coming out of our spirit? It's out of our overflow. It's out of how we live. It's not just because we are reading things and that's doctrinally correct. It's doctrinally correct, but it, as Jesus said, His word is abiding in us, but He is also abiding in us. The living word, that's right. The living word on the inside of us, and ministering from the living word. Not just head knowledge. Head knowledge is good, but I love what Pastor Tom talked about here, and I know that I have the benefit, I'm closing my eyes, I'm trying to keep my frame of mind here, about ministering from areas that, and from fields that I haven't planted, Dylan. Living out of the harvest out of fields that I have not planted. But getting down to your heart and ministering out of your heart. And I done forgot. But anyways, it'll come back to me. Where is the heart? And ministering from your heart. That'll come to me at midnight and I'll post it and y'all can catch it in the morning. That's all right. But, you know, I look back on some of those things and I just thought, Lord, being able to benefit. And Jesus said we would do that. We would reap in fields that we didn't sow. But where's the heart? Ministering from our heart. Ministering because it's deep down on the inside of us. I think this is where it was at. Ministering from a faith that runs so deep. This is exactly it. Ministering from a faith that runs so deep that nobody can talk you out of it. That's what I'm talking about from your heart. It's a faith that when you read it inside of God's Word and you know it's yours and you can't even talk yourself out of it. Did you know that? I told a guy this week, I took him to Hebrews chapter 4 about how God's Word pierces through dividing spirit and soul. And we have to learn sometimes in this walk that you're going to have to live a life where your emotions may be going all over the place, but your spirit's like, uh-uh, this is where we are. We're not moving off of this. And it's eventually going to have to get in agreement with your spirit. Because as Brother Hagin had said before, you can have faith in your heart with doubt running through your mind, and you're not going crazy. But you're just not a soul. You are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, Paul was very clear that you are spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to have to learn to live according to the Spirit and receive in our spirit, because sometimes, Josh, our emotions will go haywire. Sometimes our body will go haywire. And we have to get ourselves in alignment with what the Spirit says, because the Bible says God is spirit. And if we're going to be like God, we're going to have to think spirit as well. So we're going to talk about where is the heart and about believing God for anything. So you're in Mark 11 now, right? As you're turning there, if you're not, I'm not talking about just believing for what you want to believe, but seeing it in God's Word and knowing it's for you. We're not talking today just about dreaming up what you want to dream up, and we'll get to that here in just a minute, but I really am wanting to focus in on when you see something written in Scripture, it's for you. And it doesn't even matter what your flesh thinks about it. It doesn't even matter what your emotions are thinking about it at the time. And it certainly doesn't really matter what anyone else has to say about it. And we'll get to this here in a minute as well. Just because the Lord reveals something to you doesn't mean you have to post it on Facebook. This is where people get in trouble, is when they start broadcasting deep, intimate things. I mean, if you're smart, you don't discuss intimate details of the intimacy with your spouse, with your buddies at work. Do you? Hopefully you don't. The same way with the Lord. When the Lord reveals something to me, I don't go around blabbing it to everybody. I keep that on the inside of me. And then when God brings that to fruition, I'm just going to let the work speak for itself. I don't have to say anything. I just let the work speak for itself. Mark chapter 11, it says, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Let me stop right here. I'm not going to elaborate here, but I forgot a point. The reason I'm saying I'm speaking from my heart today is I want you to understand this, that God has taken me on a journey that I had to go from not really believing that God wanted somebody to prosper. And I'm not talking about going to a church that talks about it, okay? I'm talking about coming into a place where God revealed it to me. And I want to share some of these areas that God helped me with and trying to build a platform. One of the, I don't want to call them bucket lists. There's nothing wrong with that verbiage, but there were some dreams that I had and I got to, And Miss Kathy was there yesterday. She got to see me living out one of my dreams. And when I say this, a lot of people may cringe, but I wanted to take my whole family to Silver Dollar City, and I wanted Ida to be with us. And I got to take her for the first time and all the firsts, you know, riding the merry-go-round. I was all smiles. And of course, we're just all pictures. You know, and I've got them if you want to look at them later. I'd be happy to show them to you. Smiling, laughing. We had such a great time. We laughed all the way up there. We sang all the way up there. We told stories. We just had a great day. And I'll tell you right now, I went to bed, tired last night, but I went to bed with my heart full. I went to bed knowing that, hey, you know what, God, you care about everything that I care about, and you put these dreams and these goals on the inside of me, not just so that I can always be that, like that proverbial rabbit or a carrot that I can't just quite get a hold of, but you put it out there so I can grab hold of it, and I can ingest it, and I can take it in. And it was just such a great day. And I as I was walking through the park, I was like, Lord, you know I got to teach tomorrow. I'm supposed to teach tomorrow. Where are we going? But I just honestly, in my heart of hearts, because when I told my kids that I'm teaching today, they're like, you mean you come up here? Because usually my day before is I'm spending a whole lot of time getting ready for in the morning, but I really felt like the Lord told me, go and trust me. I was like, well, okay. And I saw Miss Kathy. It was her birthday yesterday, and she was all smiles. And I guess Mr. Bob was eating ice cream somewhere. I didn't see him. But if he's smart, he was. But, I wanted to, as the day progressed on, the only verse that the Lord would keep bringing to me, other than these some that I got this morning, was Habakkuk 2:2, about writing down the vision and making it plain. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute, too, because I feel like the Lord's laid that on my heart to talk about. So, but these are things that the Lord in this journey, and I'm not here just to talk about a bunch of stories here today. I want what I feel like what the Lord wants to do, and I've got to hurry up here, is, well, we're not in a hurry, right? So, He wants to instill in you, not just for me to get up here, and this is not bragging. This is what God will do for one, He'll do for the other. He is not a respecter of persons. He said that in the book of Ephesians. There may be with people, but with God, there is no respecter of persons. What He will do for one, He will do for the other. And I want to tell you today, a lot of people say this, but I want to say this with every fiber of my being. If God can bless me, He can bless you. So I want to share some of this stuff today, because as I went along, I'm not talking about stories, but I'm talking about truths that I discovered, or that God helped me discover in His Word, Brett, that helped me to see it. And I didn't have to check it with anyone other than God and His Word. I'm not saying don't get some wisdom from people. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to also understand, when you see it in God's Word and He proves that to you, you don't have to check that with anyone. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, we all know the story that Jesus saw it the day before. He cursed it. And it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. A lot of translations would say, have the faith of God. Both of them, I think, are good translations. They both make sense. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, he didn't say when you broadcast it on social media or telling all your buddies about it. But he said, when you pray, we'll get to that about entering into the prayer closet here in a little bit. Believe, say believe, that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, we have got to get settled in our spirit, and we have to get it. What we have to get settled is, who said this? Not who agrees with it. That's worth writing down. Let me let you in on another little secret. I found this little statistic, and the statistics are statistics. You're going to remember 11% of what you hear and 88% of what you're writing down. Amen. It's worth your time to write down some of the things that are being said today. But we have to get it settled who said this, not who agrees with it. There are a lot of people today that are religious and church people that do not agree with the truths that Christ said. And I believe in one passage, Paul talked about those. He talked about enemies of the cross of Christ. And I pondered on that for a while, and I really felt what the Spirit brought to me was this. When people talk against what the cross provided, they're an enemy of the cross. People that tell you that healing is not for today, they are an enemy of the cross of Christ. What I'm trying to get to is this. When Jesus said right here that you could speak to a mountain and it would move, and somebody tells you that's not true, that's an enemy of the cross of Christ. We're not talking about just disagreeing with a denominational doctrine. We're talking about disagreeing with what the Lord of our life said. If He is your Lord. So what I want, and not just me, but what I really am feel impressed today, what the Lord wants to bring back to us today is quit. Let me go a little bit further. Quit humanizing God. Stop bringing God down to your level. Stop bringing God down to human level and help and understand that whenever the Lord of our life, the one that was with God at creation and created everything just with His words, we've been talking about words as well, right? And He created everything with His words. We can't sit here and say that our words don't matter. We can't sit here and say, well, that's not what He meant, when that's exactly what He said. And just for a little side note here, if your words don't matter, how come I don't want to say life, when bad things start coming against you, why is there this strong temptation to talk negative? Am I the only one? When life hits, it's like, it's always this way. Can I just say this? I know these aren't faith statements, but life will come at you and you'll say, this is the way life always is. It's tempting to say that, right? I'm not trying to school you on what. I'm just saying these are temptations that come to you. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck. These are temptations. We never have enough money. Temptations. We got to quit pretending that words don't matter, because why are we being influenced to talk negative? And then how come whenever we begin to start thanking God, all of a sudden there's a momentum building of goodness and seeing what God is doing in our life? Quit pretending that your words don't matter. They matter, because right here, Jesus, the Lord of your life, said you can have whatsoever you say. But I want to be fair and honest today. This is really from my journey. No one in their right mind, and I was thinking about me whenever I was writing these down, no one in their right mind would not want to be abundantly blessed. As I said, this is from experience and the journey that the Lord put me on. Because I want to say, I've talked sporadically about where we were, and I'm not talking about a location, okay? I'm talking about where we were spiritually and where the Lord was moving us to. When we left where we were, we didn't know where we were going. But the one thing that the Lord kept telling me was, where you're going, you're going to learn. That was it. That's all. That's what we went on. That in Genesis 12. I want you to leave everything you know, and I'll show you where you're going when you get there. Well, that's easier said than done, and it takes some patience. And Brad, it didn't happen overnight. But as we step forward, God began to bring us into some truths. I want to get to hear this in here in just a minute, but this is from my heart today. But people, and when I say people, I talk about Christians, they read scriptures. And the reason I can say this is because this used to be me. And they want to believe for better and to be able to increase in every area of their life. They see the written promises, and it even brings sensations of hope and excitement. They even start to dream of what it would be like to be blessed beyond measure and to live a life they desire. Can anybody identify that with that today? But whether it is taught or caught, somewhere they get the impression that if I start desiring and believing for prosperity and God's blessings, I'm going to be giving an inroad to Satan in my life, and I will end up turning my heart away from the truth. There are people, and I don't know if you're in here today or whether this is online or whether this is for a future broadcast. I don't know, but you can probably identify with what I'm saying. You read in the scriptures, and you see what the Lord of our life is saying, but it is hard for us to disconnect from whether that's old teaching, whether that's old thinking, whether it was caught, whether it was taught, I don't know. But sometimes we have this idea, if I start believing and stop taking the limits off of God to do great things in my life, just simple things like taking my family on a trip. There was times in my life that I felt like if I asked God for that there was some way, somehow, I was inviting an inroad from the enemy into my life. Because I was asking God to help me to do something that I could not do for myself. And I felt bad for even asking about it. And there's people that have those bonds on them today. They have those chains on them today that they feel like that somehow or another their life and in poverty. I want to be very careful here. I want to be very understanding and mindful of what I'm about to say here. They feel like, or they've been taught by their poverty, that they are honoring God. And I want to come by to tell you today, if you are living in poverty, it is not God's will for you to be there. It is not. And by you asking God to bless you, you are not inviting an inroad to Satan in your life. What we're going to see is your life is going to begin to honor God and His goodness. Are you with me today? Amen. And we could go with a million directions here, but let's just choose one for the sake of time. When we talk about feeling these, if you ask God for things, if you believe God to bless you, if you ask God for some of these things, you're inviting the enemy in to get an inroad into your life. Who would want you to believe that? I'm just putting, whenever you're faced with those thoughts, who's wanting me to think this way? If the Lord is telling me that I can have anything I say, and then I have an influence telling me if I do, that I'm inviting an inroad to Satan into my life, where's that influence coming from? Because Jesus is not going to tell me I can have whatsoever I say, and then tell me if I do that I'm inviting an inroad to Satan into my life. God's not a psycho. He doesn't have mental problems. He said it because that's what He meant. And that's what the life that he wants you to be able to live. Because believe it or not, whether you know this or not, Christian, I want you to hear me today. God wants you to be happy. Now, I understand this. You can be happy and content wherever you find yourself, okay? I'm not trying to tell you you got to wait for a mansion. And I want people to understand this. When I start believing for God for things, a Rolls Royce would do me no good. I don't want one. And a lot of times people, and I understand ministries that have airplanes. I get all that. Praise God for it. They need it. I don't need one. And I remember there was a guy bragging one time, and he said, and he told the minister that he was talking to, he said, well, my faith got me a jet airplane. He said, what did your faith get you? And he said, it delivered me from the desire of wanting one. There's some prosperity in your life that you will cut out, things you will cut out because you realize they don't hold any meaning. They do not make you look any certain way. And you don't have to carry the weight of trying to have and accumulate to try to impress somebody. That really the true prosperity in your life is just receiving what makes your heart happy. And whether people realize that or not, going to Silver Dollar City with my family made me happy. I've got videos, I've got pictures of Ida smiling. And why would God not want me to experience that? I know we can smile at the state park. I know we can smile at home. That's all fine and well. But I just thought, well, God, there's a whole lot of sinners going to Silver Dollar City. Why can't a Christian go? What's wrong with a believer having stuff? I mean, there's a world out there that doesn't even believe in God that's got a whole lot of stuff. Why would his people not be able to have good stuff? And why would he write in his word that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous? And people say, that's not what that means. Then what does it mean? Thank you, Bo. I think it is too. Because I'm not talking about you got to list out these things in order to be successful. I'm talking about you having the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. And what it is, the desires that you have on the inside of you. Number one, Quran taught such a beautiful message about when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And when you think about that and translate it out, he doesn't just grant you your wish list. He puts the desire in you and then meets the desire. I'm having a really good time today. You know, when you get delivered and you're free, it's just different. But where do these influences come from to tell you that God doesn't want to do that for you? And here, this is the beautiful thing, is you don't even have to have the plan. All you have to do is trust the Lord. When he brings things for you to do, then do them. I got on my dry erase board in my shop, $1 million. But you know what the Lord told me the next day? And I wrote it down. You know what's true? He said, you might want to know how to manage that. Yeah, exactly. That's valid. I wrote that down too. Because I don't want God's blessing to turn into my curse. I wanted to be able to say, show me how to manage that. Show me how to create, to make that beyond, turn it into generational wealth that I'm not having to, I can take Ida and Ida can take her grandkids to Silver Dollar City. I say, listen to what the Lord is telling you along the way. This is not about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I'm talking about he gives you things along the way that helps you get into these things and keep them. Does that make sense? Well, people will tell you, and I wrote this down today. This came to me in my office. I even beat Mr. Tom here this morning. I was here early. And they'll tell you that this is not true. Prosperity is not. And there is such a war against prosperity right now. You see it everywhere. In the Holy Scriptures, God tells us that above all things, he wishes that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. The Holy Scriptures. God. Above all things. And people will tell you, from the bubble of prosperity, mind you, that it's not God's will for us to preach about prospering. That's as ignorant as talking about how bad the United States is from the bubble of freedom. And there are ministers today, and I know because I used to be one of them, that will preach against prosperity from the bubble of prosperity. They'll preach against prosperity in their air-conditioned building. They'll preach against prosperity from the padded pew and from their nice car that they drove in on the paved parking lot. And they'll still pass the offering plate around. And I thought, if you don't believe in prosperity, sell the building, sell the cars, and meet under a tree. And quit, for the love of God, quit passing that offering plate around. And begin to, if you really believe that we should not prosper, you need to be as poor can get. We are living in the most prosperous nation that has ever existed, and yet we have dummies. And I'm not talking about dumb. Being dumb is a choice. You're not born dumb. It's a choice. And to be able to sit there and be so ignorant to talk against prosperity from the bubble that prosperity created for you. It really does anger me. Because God sent His Son. I'm not saying that He died just so we could be just this in this area, but that was part of the covenant for us to be blessed. He did not redeem us from the blessings. He redeemed us from the curses. And like I said, I'm not trying to tell you you have to have $1 million to be prosperous. You can be prosperous with $100,000. You can be prosperous with $50,000. You can be prosperous with $10,000. You can be prosperous with $1,000, but it's a mindset of your life and understanding this, that no matter where I find myself, I can be content. And Paul told Timothy, there is wealth in that itself. But to look at the life, and I know this is a lot of soapbox preaching today, I understand that, but let's look at our lives. Running water, inside plumbing, air conditioning, recliner. Now our couches got the recliners. I say now, that's been probably 30 years ago. I don't know. But my wife wants to get rid of ours. I was like, this thing's comfortable. Cars, I said stuff about this the other day, but we got a car now that it'll warm your bottom and it'll cool your bottom. The Lord's good. All you sinners, you keep on adding up that money. Bring it into us righteous people. Food, I mean, go to the grocery store. Pulling food off the shelf, right? Golly. And we're blessed. Griping because we got to go get it. Woo! You should have brought them steel toes. Todd was asking me about them steel toes. Let me tell you something. We, there ain't a church in this nation that needs to be preaching against prosperity because they're living right in the middle of it.
Amen. Right.
They'll tell you that from the bubble of prosperity that God doesn't want you to prosper. I learned this one from Roy Chisholm. He said, if the devil could get you to turn your back on God by giving you money, he would have filled your bank account up yesterday. We have to quit pretending that God doesn't want us to be blessed, and we got to remember, where are these influences coming from? Because they're not from God, because in His Word He said He wants us to. John 10:10. A lot of times we talk about the killing, but He's also a thief, and He's coming to steal. He's wanting to kill and destroy, but a lot of people, He doesn't have to kill them physically. He's stealing from them in their mind. He's stealing from them in their thoughts. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. This is because what I want you, And while you're turning there, when he says he wants you to have life more abundantly, that word abundantly actually means excessive beyond what's necessary. And the enemy wants to passively steal from you by influencing untruths. Jesus is saying he wants to give excessively to you. The enemy wants to persuade you that it's not true. You say, Brother John, do I have to wait until I have all this stuff in order to have peace in my life? And the answer is no. In verse 6 of chapter 4 in Philippians, it says to be careful. That word means anxious, dreading. It said for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Do we got something to be thankful for today? Through all this ministering, have we decided today that we're blessed already? Okay? We got something to be thankful for, but along with that, along with these requests that we want to be, make known to God, we need to be also doing it with a thankful heart. And when we do that, verse 7 comes into play, and the peace of God. I want to talk about that for just a second here, because you don't have to get $1 million to have peace in your life. If you think that this is what I'm talking about today, you don't have to have a certain house to have peace in your life. You don't have to drive a certain car to have peace in your life. You don't have to wear a certain kind of clothes to have peace in your life. You don't have to go to the beach every year to have peace in your life. He said he would come down and he would guard your heart and he would guard your mind. And I've got something to be thankful for. I can start somewhere. I dealt a little bit with just some thoughts that weren't from the Lord. And it was causing, it was trying to influence me to get depressed. And I was walking last week and the Lord reminded me of, you know, golly, the sword of the Spirit that we talked about. And he said to, is that in Ephesians right? I can see where notes come in real handy. I'm prepared. I've been prepared, but this is coming to me. When you are seeking the Lord and walking in the Spirit is going to reveal scriptures to you. He's going to reveal God's word. Let's look at his 17 of chapter 6. And the helmet, he said, and take the helmet of salvation. He said, and the sword of the Spirit. So when we talk about a sword, would it be fair to say that the choice of weapon that the Spirit uses, the sword, he said, which is the word of God, that the Spirit's weapon of choice is God's word? That whenever you begin to pray in the Spirit and you begin to pray over things, that God's word begins to come up on the inside of you, and that's why there's this temptation to keep it compressed. Whenever you get it out and you begin to say it, then all of a sudden this is what starts happening in your life. Peace will start coming to your life. And so whenever I'm walking and I'm praying in the Spirit, because I don't like these thoughts that I'm having, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's the only thing that kept coming up to me. And I realized this, that, wait a minute, I need to spend some time being thankful. I don't need to go down there and have Pastor Susan lay hands on me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't need to have Dylan lay hands on me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he began to give me scriptures that I began to say out loud. And the next thing I know, I remembered, this came to me after, this is really where all this message is consisting today. And God began to show me every part of my life that I'm living today, from where I live, to what I drive, to where I work, to the things that I get to do with my family, and everything was, at one time in my life, was just written on a piece of paper. Praise God. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Amen. I said every part of my life that I live today at one time was written on a piece of paper, and I was confessing what God's word had to say over it. Habakkuk chapter 2. It said this, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what shall I answer when I am reproved or when I am corrected? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables tablets that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely happen. It will surely take place. Now, people say that's not what is being said here, but you have to admit there's a principle here. There's a principle here. Is that I'm going to stand still until I hear what God says to me through His Word. Okay? So when I read Mark 11, 22 through 24, I am not setting these things off what I'm thinking. I'm strictly receiving what God's Word said about me. What I can have and what I can do. And whenever I get that on the inside of me, now I can write down the vision plainly, detailed, and it will surely take place. And people will tell me that's not what that means and that doesn't work. But friends, I want you to listen to me. That's like telling me that there isn't any water in the pool and I'm wet from swimming in it. I wrote down what I wanted from the Lord because I saw Mark 11, 22 and 24. And I wrote it down and literally started marking things off because, now did it happen the next day? No. Were there times that I wanted to, let me tell you this, grace is not just for adultery. Because there were times when I would talk against what I had asked God for, but you know what? Within a couple of minutes, I was like, wait a minute, that's not what I want. And I love what Pastor Tom said one time. He said, if I say something against God's Word, I confess it as sin, and then I repent of it. And so I began to realize, hey, I don't have to start, because that's what the devil's a dummy. Do you know that? He will tell you, oh, if you mess up, you got to go all the way back over here and start all over again. But you know, when you fall off of a horse, do you go all the way back to the corral to get back on it? No, you get right back on where you fell off. So whenever you say something against what you're believing for, don't listen to a dummy. Listen to the Word of God. And get back up and get back on your horse and say, that's not the man I'm going to be. This is where I want to get to. And let grace have its work inside your life. Yeah, don't tell me it don't work, because And I know that may be not altogether what he would, but there is a principle there. Get it in front of you and don't get off of it. I got to share this and I'm going to try to close. Why all this stuff? Why all these blessings? Again, from my heart, I want you to understand these things. Why all these believing for what, saying what you can have and all? Why all this? Because the goodness of God in our lives is part of our witness. It's part of our witness. Matthew 5 and 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I said earlier, this does not require a public service announcement. Let the goodness speak for itself. Let the goodness speak for itself. Quit sharing your dreams that God gave you with dream killers. Matthew 6 and 6, Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I don't have to go around telling everybody I was believing for a new truck. I took a picture of it, I put it in my prayer closet, and I began to ask God for it. And you know what he did? He gave it to me. And then you know what else he did? He paid it off. I didn't do nothing for that. I didn't perform any miracles. I didn't fast for 40 days. I didn't do anything extra special than just believe God, and I wrote it down. That's all I did. I'd love to tell you that I did something different, but I didn't. I got a vision, and I saw in the scriptures where God said that I could, whatever I say would happen. I love to complicate it, but I can't complicate it. And I know y'all are staring at me like a calf at a new gate, but I want you to understand this. I'm just telling you what happened in my life. And you know what? Here's another thing. To go along with the nature of what we're talking about, you know what, Dylan? I never worshiped the devil over that. I never told the devil how good he was. I didn't let him have an inroad into my life. I did not become a spoiled brat. Matter of fact, every time I get in that truck, I'm like, my goodness, God, you are so good. You are so good to me. I don't even deserve this, and you are that good to me. You love me that much that you paid this off for me. I would love to complicate that for you, but I can't, because that's not, I didn't do anything other than just what God's Word says. I have to cover this, because when people get to this, they, like I said, they don't, but they let dummy spirits influence them. And when it becomes to prosperity and truly understanding it, you're going to have to deal with dummy spirits. People are not dummies by nature. They become dummies by what they give themselves to. And this is one thing you're going to have to deal with, is people will say this to you, and I've heard them say it, that if you can have anything you desire, ask for someone else's spouse. That's being a dummy. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, there's a prerequisite there. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The key to this passage is abiding in Christ and his word abiding in you. And if I'm abiding in Christ, am I going to be coveting my neighbor's spouse? Absolutely not. This is not about being ridiculous. This is about God putting the desire on the inside of you, and then God meeting that desire, and you saying what his word says over your life. And let's stop trying to wait for heaven to live heaven, when Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And not just so you can fat cat, but so people can look in your life and say this, there must be a God. There's got to be a God. Because John's not smart enough for that. And you know what? They're right. I'm not. But if I follow what God's word says, I can smart enough to do that. I can do that. I can listen to what his word says, and you can go from a dummy to being a wise person by listening to what God's word says. And these are some things that you're probably going to have to deal with. But I want to say this as well in my initial closing here. You can avoid a lot of that if you're not blabbing everything that God's telling you in the secret place. And just leave it between you and the Lord, and then let the work talk for itself, okay? Amen. Stand with me if you would. Amen.